Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wednesday. Can everybody hear me? Hello? Hold on a minute. I lost my connection to the internet there, so I do apologize. I'm trying to see if everything is still working here. Let's see if somebody could give me a thumbs up in the chat. Oh, okay. It says you can hear now. So again, apologize. Don't know what happened. Just at the start of the program there, everything just sort of disappeared and my internet went down and I had to do some resetting to be able to get back on. So I do apologize. Hold on just a second. See if this has to do with the broadcast. Listening by phone. Okay. So Miss Ella is listening by phone. Yeah, but it was not nobody else's fault. It was my internet connection went down. So we'll go ahead and pick up here where we were talking about loud and clear. Charles says, all right, very good. Let's see. All right. Anyway, we were just talking about some of the crazy things going on. Be financially in a position where if it goes south in a hurry that you're not left completely off guard. Same thing goes with food supply. We're hearing lots and lots of stories about certain areas of the country where there are shortages. The inflation is definitely here. I can attest to that myself. The price of food, price of everything. I bought a battery today for a car battery. By the time I got out the door, it was almost $250. So by the time you pay for this charge, that charge, a fee, taxes, and everything else. So, I mean, that's unheard of. When I was younger, you could get a car battery for $50, $60, $70, a really good one. And these are just running. So it's some crazy times. There's no doubt about that. The warning went out, too, that there's a Shemitah, that the Jews call it a Shemitah time coming up, which is equivalent to our Feast of Tabernacles. And this is that time of year during that feast time when they pull a lot of their stunts. So just be aware of that. Keep your eyes and ears open. And we'll see what happens. Okay. Again, just to be forewarned is to be forearmed, as one of my Army intelligence buddies used to tell me all the time. So we're just forewarning you that we are in dangerous territory when it comes to the timing on the calendars. So we have the food situation, the money situation. The emergency broadcast system may be involved in some of this stuff. There's also false flag possibilities going on. So, I mean, it's a crazy time. People are acting bizarre. I mean, really bizarre. People I've known for many, many years are going off the deep end, especially folks that have put the foreign substance in their body. The fake phony vaccines, but people that are putting other pharmaceuticals, a pharmaceutical is a pharmaceutical, whether it's over the counter and called legal or whether it's illegal. A pharmaceutical is a pharmaceutical. It's an artificial drug. Okay. And it will wreak havoc on the body. People need to know that. I mean, and it's bad enough that the crazy times we live in is doing strange and weird things to everybody, but people putting this crap in their bodies, I don't understand it. Why would you do that? Ellis is here, Dr. Vernon Coleman, who I like listening to him quite a bit. He's an older gentleman and he's very wise. He had an article and a video discussing all the stuff going on, including the proxy war in the Ukraine, which is all just unbelievable, the stuff going on. when are the people going to want Yahweh's law and justice on the land? That's what my question is. Why do we keep looking to the same culprits that create this chaos, asking them to fix our problems? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But anyway, let's get into the open forum session here, and I'll go ahead and open up some channels, and if anybody's got anything they want to discuss or bring to the attention of the brothers and sisters out there now, but how about you, Ella? Go ahead. You got your hand up.
I was just thinking that, you know, the people are going around like zombies. One of the reasons why this is happening is because in the past, I'd say, past 25 years, doctors have been prescribing antidepressants to people. Anytime anyone felt a little bit sad or depressed or the usual life challenges that he gives you every day, they'd go to the doctor and they'd say, oh, you need an antidepressant. So this antidepressant boom that's gone on for the past quarter of a century is one of the reasons people are walking around like zombies now, because a lot of doctors, in fact, all the good doctors are probably not practicing anymore. And if you can't get a prescription for renewal on your antidepressant, your mind goes into a fog. So all these people walking around cannot think anymore, not like they used to, after the long time of being on antidepressants. So that's one of the reasons why. Another reason why I think is everything that's happened in the past before, and I've lived eight decades on this earth. Everything that has come to pass. You know, you wait two, 3 years and it goes away, and then you return to normal and it goes away, and then it returns to normal and it comes back again. Well, they think that the COVID bull crap that came along in 2020 is doing the same thing. It's going to last for a little while and it's going to go away and we're going to return to normal. But the news is we're not ever going to return to normal again, and people just can't understand that or get it into their heads. That's all I have to say for now.
Yep. The drugs, the other side effect of these drugs is suicidal tendencies. Actually, there's a very long list of side effects, but some of the more serious ones, of course, is suicidal tendencies. And we're reading everywhere that among the United States military, suicide is at the highest rate it's ever been. Last time I checked, it was almost 22 military personnel a day. A day now. Every single day, approximately 22 military people kill themselves, okay? The suicide rate amongst young people in America is at an all-time high. Suicide in general is very high. So, and again, we are a drug-addled society, thanks to the medical profession and the drug pharmaceuticals. They put these drugs into the hands of the doctors. They give them to them free, the samples. They encourage them to promote them and to give them to the people to use. They make it economically very, very beneficial for them to do that. And so modern doctors and medical facilities are basically drug pushers. And so we have a drug-addled society. Last time I heard, I think it was Joe Cortina in Clearwater, Florida, told us in his presentation that at that time when he was on this program, he said the military in this country right now, 50%, so that's one half, of the people in the military are on pharmaceuticals, at least 50%. It may be higher now. So that's amazing, okay? I know from personal experience, because I was accidentally given a very powerful drug one time. Somebody gave me some tablets. They thought it was something to help settle my stomach. Turned out to be Seroquel. And I ended up with a 400 milligram dose, which is half of a overdose. And since I don't use pharmaceuticals at all, ever. It hit me really hard, but it taught me something, that since I don't do drugs of any kind, it's sometimes hard for me to identify what people are going through. But that little episode with Seroquel taught me a lot about what these drugs can do to people. I mean, it physically incapacitated me. And I'm a pretty big, strong guy. And it put me on my knees, literally put me on my knees for an entire day. And at times I wondered if I was even going to come out of it. And again, that was only half of what they consider an overdose. So my heart goes out to people that are trapped in these things. I know some family members that are on what they call substitutes because they're trying to get over a previous drug addiction. And they give them these, what they call substitutes, and the substitutes are more habit-forming than the drug that they're giving them the substitutes for. It's unbelievable. I mean, what do they call that, a squirrel cage? Where they just, the hamster cage where, like a treadmill, they just keep going in circles because they use the drugs, then the doctors give them more drugs, saying it's to help them get off of it, and the drugs that they're using to get them off of it are as bad or worse than the drugs that they were using to begin with. It's unbelievable. I mean, we are in some crazy times. Go ahead, Ella.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that, too, that people don't always know that they are given an antidepressant. For example, if you have back pain or leg pain or neck pain or whatever, pain from arthritis or something like that, doctors will very frequently give you an antidepressant and tell you that that will help your pain. Like, for instance, a long time ago, I was having knee pain and back pain, and when I went to the doctors, I had to go to the dentist. I didn't go to doctors, but I went to the dentist. And he would not treat me because my blood pressure was high. So I had to go to a doctor to get my blood pressure lowered before my dentist would treat me for a toothache. So therefore, when I was at the doctor's, I told him I had the back pain and the knee pain. And he put me on Lexapro. And I thought, why Lexapro? He says, because that has a side effect of helping with the pain. But I had to do what the doctor said to do, or I couldn't get my toothache fixed. So I was on Lexapro for a good 5 years, and I looked up all the side effects of it, and it was basically an antidepressant. Then that's around the time I met you, Dan, and you told me about the things coming on, and I understood about identity. And then I went off of everything. I weaned myself off of everything, and I thank God that I did. Because no more than that was in 2018, I think. And then in 2019, this all started happening. So by the time this COVID crap came out, I was off of everything. So I didn't have to worry about going off of antidepressants. So a lot of these people walking around are on medication that they think is for their discomfort. And it's not. It's an antidepressant, which you cannot stop immediately. You must wean yourself off of it gradually in order to eliminate the side effects. Okay, I'll yield for now.
Yeah, we got some new people into our family chat here. We got Jeffrey and then we got Randy. So I've unmuted you guys. We're in the open forum session, so just jump in anywhere you feel led to jump in. But so far we're talking about health issues and all the drug use and how...
Can I go on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh. Dan, can you hear me?
Torture. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I couldn't hear anybody talking. I was wondering if you could.
Yeah, I hear you. You can't hear me talking?
Oh, I can hear you now, yes. But I think somebody else was talking, so I won't interfere.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't hear anybody else, but...
Oh, okay. What I wanted to say, too, if nobody else was talking, that if anybody did not get an email I sent out about marriage certificates, maybe you can fill them in on that, Dan.
Well, we've said about this for years and years, and Anella put out even more information on it. The marriage license is a trap. And again, you're inviting the state to be a party to your marriage, where a marriage is supposed to be between the man, the woman, and Yahweh God. That's the only parties of the marriage. It has nothing to do with a piece of paper. It sure as hell has nothing to do with a ceremony and words spoken by a so-called man of God or woman of God. Marriage is basically, it's what they used to call the bridal chamber, which is the bedroom. So when the man lays with the woman, he has made her his wife. That's the way it works. So it's just him, her, and Yahweh God in his law. Now they want you to get into this marriage license bullcrap, which becomes a contract that you've made the state a party to your marriage, and you've given them legal rights to interfere in your marriage, and also legal rights to access to your children and tell you how to raise your children, how to educate your children, and on it goes. Now, they've reached a point now where governments feel they have a right to do all this stuff whether you signed a marriage certificate or not. Because I went through this years ago when CPS tried to steal one of my sons from his mom, and we did not have a marriage license. We had a common law marriage. So it didn't stop them from thinking they had a right to come into the house and dictate terms. So it's not a guarantee that they'll not leave you, or that they'll leave you alone if you don't get one, because that is just the nature of the beast. The beast now feels that they have a right to interfere no matter what you do. But definitely getting the marriage license is something to stay away from. Ella put in here marriage license, or the marriage ceremony in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 24. And Isaac and Rebekah entered the tent and became man, meaning they had a sexual consummation. And by the way, that's even in modern law. I worked with a guy many years ago in Ohio who married a woman, and it was a bizarre situation. He married this woman, but the woman's family went with them on their honeymoon, so, and stayed in the same honeymoon suite with them, so nothing happened there. They got home, nothing happened as far as him and her when they got home, and while he was at work, he found out she was entertaining men at the apartment while he was at work. And so they never consummated the marriage themselves, but she was having sex with strangers. So it was just a bizarre, really bizarre situation. But the point was, he was able to get the marriage annulled because it was never consummated. So even in modern times, they go back to a biblical principle. Even with a ceremony, even with a piece of paper, the marriage is not in effect if it's not consummated by sex. So he was able to end his marriage with her without going through a long, lengthy, expensive process because she did not contest the fact that it had never been consummated. So right there, you got proof that the biblical law is part of our law going way back. It even comes into the modern era. Okay, I'll yield if somebody's got something they want to bring up.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about marriage. Now, when in the Bible, when Mary and Joseph were married, it spoke about an espousal period. And the way I understood that is that was very similar to an engagement where it was publicly announced through both families that this couple was going to engage in marriage and consummate the marriage, but they were just espoused together and hadn't consummated the marriage yet. So once Joseph found out that she was with child, that it says that he sought to put her away privately. So it almost seemed like that at that point, he could have technically put her away before the marriage was consummated. Have you heard about anything like that?
Well, they're different periods of time, because remember, gals could be a spouse to a man even at a very young age, prior to even being capable of having children. And the men were to leave them alone sexually until they came of age. So they could be a spouse to somebody but not consummated because of their youth. So that's one of the aspects. The other, of course, is that maybe she was somebody's a spouse during a courtship period where the intention is to get married, but they haven't actually got to the point where they're going to consummate it. So that's the only thing I know about it. And again, it makes perfect sense to me. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, and that's recorded in the gospel that Mary and Joseph were espoused together to be married, but yet it hadn't been consummated yet, and she began, and then he found out that she was with child, and he's like, "Whoa, what's going on here? I think I'm going to put her away." And then that's when the angel appeared to her, said, "No, no, no, don't do this. You don't want to put her away. This is an act of Yahweh." So,
right.
I mean, that's what I've heard about how they explain the espousal period.
Right.
And exactly. during this espousal period time, if the bride was found to be with child before the consummation, then yeah, you could put her away. But I mean, we obviously don't do that now, but I mean, there is an engagement that people go through now before they get married.
Well, see, that's a conflict of terms, because we're mixing apples and oranges. When we say things like that, like engagement before they get married, but they're having sex. Well, if they're having sex, like 99% of the people out there today are doing, even during engagement, they've already got married. We say that it's an engagement, but they haven't got married yet. Okay, well, that's in man's law. That's not in Yahweh's law, because in Yahweh's law, they're already married. So we're trying to mix the two venues together as if they're equal, and they're not equal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm thinking that today, like where I live here in Idaho, I think I've told you before that this is a real heavily populated LDS Mormon area. And they, the way they do marriage is most of their, I don't know if I should say most, but a lot of the marriages are the girls are virgins. They're raised that way here. And, you know, I suppose if they were just planning to get married and all of a sudden the bride ends up pregnant, then it would be right and biblical for the groom, the man, to go ahead and say, "Hey, but you know, something's going on here. It's not you and I, and I'm stepping away from this."
Yeah, I'm gonna put you right to. He has every
put you away. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's what was going on in the life of Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, exactly. When she got pregnant with Yeshua, he assumed that she had cheated on him already, and he was going to put her away privately. In other words, he could have gone to the temple and made it public. and totally embarrassed her and ruined her reputation and that of her father. Instead, he was going to do it privately because he cared about her and her family, and so he was just going to put her away privately, which as a
he was going to do it privately, and probably didn't want her to be stoned either.
Didn't want her to be stoned or have any other kind of issues going on, right? So he was just going to quietly walk away. And Yahweh, through the messenger, told him that no, that she's carrying the Messiah, and so don't do that. And so that he didn't. He obeyed the Father, and he didn't. But yeah, the principle is that's why they used to, in the old days, when the man and woman would go into the bridal chamber and they would consummate the marriage, the older ladies of the community would go in the next morning to make up the room and change everything, and they would take the sheets off the bed to prove that she was a virgin. And they would take it out as a witness to the community and hold it up, and everybody would cheer, because that was the proof that she had maintained her virginity until she got married, because there would be the blood on the sheets. And if there was no blood on the sheets, then it was assumed that she was not a virgin, even though I guess it is possible not to bleed even though you are a virgin, but that's pretty rare, I guess. So that used to be a tradition. It was to take the sheets out with the blood on them to prove two things. One, that she was a virgin, and two, that the consummation had happened. And so he could not turn around and say, I changed my mind, I'm backing out of this. Oh, no, you took her virginity, she's your wife. And unless you can show her infidelity or some other fornication or uncleanness, then no, you don't get to back out of the deal.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's common sense. It's really the right way it should be done, even today. You know, we've turned our backs on all the things that the Father put in place to help keep us straight, keep our sanity, keep our health, keep our children healthy, and now our women are sleeping with almost any kind of animal on two legs. They don't care. They're sleeping with multitudes of men. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So it's totally screwing up their psyche. Now they've got the DNA of multiple men running through their bodies because they absorb some of that. And that's causing further confusion. So, again, women that do it right and keep the womb sacred like they're told to do, they don't have those problems. So they're not as mental. These mental, and I've seen these, a lot of the men I know won't date the women that are out there today because they are mental. I mean, they think they're men, they're argumentative, they're completely out of their minds and what they expect. They have no respect for the traditional marriage as it's stated in the Bible. And so the men are walking away from because they're out of their minds. Well, because they are out of their minds. Because they're violating the rules. They're sleeping with all kinds of guys and got all kinds of crap going on at the DNA level. And now you throw into the mix this poison, and now you're really screwed up. So it's a mess. I yield.
That's right.
The good news is it's all fixable. If we get back to, again, as the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we repent of our evil ways, which means non-biblical, against Yahweh, repent of that and get back to doing things his way, then things could straighten out. But our people are stiff-necked. They really are. They're probably some of the most stiff-necked people on earth, which is amazing because they're so stiff-necked and yet they're so easily led astray with race mixing and supporting other races, even to the detriment of their own race, which that goes against even animal instincts. Animals have more self-preservation attitude about them than our people do. It's pretty amazing, actually. Okay, I yield. Anybody got something else? Everybody's pretty happy. Things are. how about you, Randy? Gonna bring anything to the table?
Things are just as the Bible said they would be.
Yeah. Pretty chaotic, right?
Oh boy, we've been telling people for a long time to prepare. I hope they did.
Yeah, we have. You've been coming on the program for a long time, Randy.
I've been. I chime into some of these committee hearings that are going on. I mean, it's a circus show, but I like to listen in. It's just, any one of us could have committed just a small smidgen of the crimes that are being exposed out. They would have had no problem kicking our door down, hauling us away, and spending who knows how long in prison. But just all, even with all the stuff coming out, they did this and they did this, and it's like there's no accountability. It's just, but we've been talking, everybody's talking about this two-tier system of justice now. We've known about this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the system has this. If you've been in this movement any length of time, you have experienced it, or you know somebody who's experienced the system truly coming after you. It's happened to a lot of us. And they come after us, and then we'll be like, well, yeah, but look what you did. There's no accountability. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it's coming to a head, though. You can kind of feel it, can't you?
Oh, yeah. It's just you got like two trains roaring down the same track at each other. I mean, at some point there's going to be a collision, right? And that's why we're always telling people to prepare. And it's we don't personally have anything to gain by telling people just simply it's common sense. You know what I mean? Prepare. You see what's going on all around us. You got to prepare, folks. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And I'm not telling you, go click on this link and go click on that link so I can make a few. Look, the choice is up to you. You either prepare or you don't.
Right.
It's that simple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ella's got her hand up. Go ahead, Ella.
Okay, I'll lower my hand first. Okay, somebody said, as it was in the days of Noah, but the Bible also says as it was in the days of Lot. So we have both things going now, and I think a major part of what is getting screwed up today is people take Genesis 6 as being an event of fallen angels when it is not. Genesis 6 is about what they call adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It does not mean cheating on your spouse. Adultery means mixing with other races and miscegenation and having children of mixed colors. The sons of God are defined in Luke 3:38. They are the sons, the descendants of Adam. They're not fallen angels. So what's covered up there is the days of Noah, where people were mixing races until the whole world was fixed with mixed race people that the Bible calls them in Jeremiah broken cisterns. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in broken cisterns because the Holy Spirit is water. Cisterns hold water. And if you are a broken cistern, you cannot hold the Holy Spirit. So Yahweh is very against mixing races. And with all these black people that they're pulling across the border to populating our country, that's exactly what they're trying to do, make black races mix in with the white women, so that the white race will be eliminated. And then in the days of Lot, it's almost the same with all these trannies, the gay people. Homosexuality is running rampant. They have, little tiptoe through the daisies type of men with wearing their hair in ponytails and having lipstick and eyebrow pencil and earrings dangling off their ears and walking around, prancing around. Hey, we are in the days of Lot, too. But actually, one of the major faults is they have misinterpreted, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Dan can tell you more about that. I'll yield.
How do you destroy a country from within? It's, I mean, it, it's not a single issue that we're dealing with. It's all these things. The immigration issue, the race mixing, the indoctrination that's going on in the schools, all of it. This is a war, brothers and sisters. They are out to destroy us. They are out to destroy us. It's war.
Yep. Yep, and they're doing a hell of a job of it.
They want to censor you, take away your guns. I mean, every aspect of our Constitution is being violated, and even more importantly, the lines are drawn. The children of light versus the children of darkness, the great battle on the face of the earth. We're in it. We are in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Dead Sea Scrolls even talk about the great war that comes where it's the children of light or acknowledgement or consciousness or knowledge of Yahweh versus the children of darkness, which is ignorance and apathy, anti-Yahweh behavior, etc.
And the serpent was the greatest liar in the Garden of Eden. And what do we see all around us? Oh, it's a woman's right to choose. No, it's not. It's murder.
It's
all
murder.
These liars and deceivers are all around us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Pushing all their lies and propaganda.
Teaching the doctrines of devils or adversaries for the gospel of Yahshua. So that's what the church world teaches. That's why I tell people to come out of the mainstream church world. You're not going to learn any truth there. They're just teaching doctrines of devils. So it is the great battle. It's great war. Yahweh said he was going to divide the camp. He's going to separate the goats from the sheep. And that's exactly what's happening. And the amazing thing is people are astounded at how few sheep there are. And yet Yahshua, in the book of Luke, said that my flock is a tiny flock. He used the word tiny, not small, not less than half. He said tiny. And the good news is that he watches over his flock. That's why we're still here. We're greatly outnumbered by these zombies and these enemies of Yahshua. We're surrounded by them, and yet the tiny flock's still here. We still have a voice, and at some point he's going to bring the flock together. We know that. He's going to bring the flock back together because our job of being a preservation or salt scattered amongst these normies, our job will be over. Right now, it is still to tell the truth and to let people know they need to repent and come out of this. But at some point, he's going to say, that's enough. They've been warned. And it's time for the watchmen to come down off the walls and for our safety, put us in a safe place while he lowers the hammer on these totally effed up zombies we've got out here. I mean, I go out as little as possible, but when I do go out, it's hard to find real people anymore. Most people are what I call cardboard people. They're just, there's an image of a person there, but there's no spirit, no soul, no light, no truth, no concern. They're just cardboard people going through the motions, the zombies.
Just like Joe Biden.
Yeah, he would be a good caricature of a zombie. You're right about that. I'll go ahead and yield if somebody else has got something.
I just wanted to say something about what Ella was saying about adultery and how the adultery in its actual original meaning meant to not mix race. And I just learned that this year, just like 6 months ago. I learned it from you, Pastor Dan, and then I got to looking at it. And I'm like, whoa, that makes sense. I've never heard that before in my life. But I was watching a podcast just the other day, and it was this woman was she was teaching people how to can and preserve foods and stuff. And she was in her kitchen, and she goes, now, this stuff right here is pure, and you do not want to adulterate that with anything. And I'm like, did I just hear her say adulterate? So I backed it up, and she did. She said that. And then I kept listening, and she said it again. Do not adulterate that with anything.
Right.
So I'm like, whoa, this, I mean, these evangelical Zionist fundamental churches, they won't touch that at all.
Right.
Yeah. And I just learned about that. And that the Holy Spirit told me that's the truth.
Because they're in on
each other. Amen.
Yeah. And my dad, who...
Go ahead.
My dad, who was, he passed away at the age of 80, it's been about 9 years now, but he was raised a fundamentalist, and he was totally against race mixing. And he told all of us boys, and there's six of us brothers and one sister, and he told all of us, you do not mix your race. You guys date anybody, it's going to be a white Anglo-Saxon person. And he that's what he drove into us. And I just wanted to say that I never really thought about that commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. But it makes perfect sense to me. And, there's another commandment there, too, that says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. You know, that covers the part about messing around with other people's wives.
Absolutely. Right.
So he wouldn't repeat himself there.
In fact, it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, a lot of people, especially women, I don't mean to step on toes, but this is just a fact, okay? When you go into the Greek language, for the Greek words used for children and wives, it is those under the authority of the man of the house, like the word doulos, okay? Well, the same thing in the commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or any of his other possessions. The wife is considered a possession of the husband. And a lot of people, they take offense to that because we're into this women's lib mentality ever since the 1980s, especially, 60s, 70s, and 80s. But in reality, that's the way it is. And men have a responsibility to care for their property appropriately, not to abuse it, not to treat them like slaves or doormats. Yahweh's commandment is that we, true Caucasian Israelites, we are to properly take care of everything that the Father gives us authority over, all of our property, which includes our wives and our children. And we are to handle it properly, to take care of them, protect them, clothe them, feed them. Educate them. That's our job. So that's another principle that's in there that's been obfuscated in this day and age by the teachings of the lamestream, mainstream, Zio, Christard churches. Okay? They've got this whole other paradigm that they're trying to create out there. It just doesn't exist. They try to make it like Yeshua when he walked the earth, that he taught these things. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. First of all, it was Yahweh in a flesh body. Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because he put on flesh and came down here to teach us and to guide us in the flesh does not mean he's going to turn and create a new system of law. He didn't. That's why he said, I'm here to fulfill the law. Not change it. I'll never change it. The law never changes. Race mixing is race mixing. Adulterating is adulterating. So even if you don't study the Greek, just study the Latin, which is the base for the word adulterate. How do you adulterate something? You mix an impurity into a pure thing. That's adultery. That's adulterating. Okay? So even if you don't go to Mukesus, which is the Greek for that, in the Septuagint, well, the Greek makes it even more plain. You're not to mongrelize anything. Not just your children and your wives. You're not to mongrelize anything. That includes pets, cattle, sheep, goats, trees, fruits, vegetables. You're not supposed to try to invent something new by splicing in things that don't belong with it. That is not, we don't have permission to do that. Ever. And that's what the Greek word is talking about. You do not have the right to adulterate or mix or mongrelize anything. Yahweh put everything here perfect in its form. You're allowed to eat it, use it, share it, sell it, grow it, but change it? Genetically change it? No. You don't have that right. Because you're creating something that was never meant to be. The scripture often calls them bastards, but they also refer to the offspring of this kind of mongrelization. They call them monsters. Oh, Dan, that sounds so cruel. Well, take a look at what's walking the streets today. What's attacking our Caucasian people all through Europe and all over America, now in Canada. These monsters that have been created, people that do not follow Yahweh's law because the white man or the Caucasian man has ceased to teach Yahweh's law and to enforce Yahweh's law on this earth. That's what we were put here to do. Teach it and enforce it. And we don't do any of that anymore. And so now the monsters have risen up all around us. It's getting pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. So I think we're near the end of the age. Praise Yahweh that he's going to end this pretty soon, because it's not looking very pretty and it's not looking like it's getting any better. I'll yield.
Well, going back to what we were saying about these churches and they're in on it, there's been a video on YouTube for quite a few years about the clergy response team with FEMA. And we remember during this pandemic, all the churches, most of the churches went along with what the government did, what the government was dictating to them. The churches should have been sounding the bells of freedom from one side of the country to the other, but they all cower down to their master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're all in on it, folks.
Yep, this last 3.5 years has done a lot to expose who's real and who's not.
Yep.
That's right.
Go ahead.
And there's a lot of us that have went through a lot of personal stuff discovering all this, so it's been a wild ride.
Amen. I was going to say that I was really surprised at the LDS Mormon people around here. I thought that they would band together and take a stand against the vaccine, and then all of a sudden their prophet, Dr. Russell Nelson, who is the president, the head president and the head prophet of the LDS Church down in Utah, he called in a TV crew to film himself getting the vaccine in a clinic and encouraged every LDS and every Mormon to get it. And like I was saying,
told, man, he's doing as he's told.
Yep, he did exactly what he's told, and all these LDS,
like all these entertainment people.
Yep, all these friends of mine, and I work with a lot of them too. And they're like, well, how come you don't join the LDS Church and get baptized and be part of us? You live right around us. And I'm like, I said, you guys are just, you're into race mixing. You're into universalism. You're antinomians. You're into vaccines. I said, and furthermore, Russell Nelson, your prophet. I says, when is the last time he's prophesied anything of any significance? Did he, I mean, he's 93 years old. Hell, he could have prophesied World War II. He could have prophesied the Vietnam War. He could have prophesied the worst pandemic, so-called, that ever came upon this country. He didn't say nothing about none of that. So, I mean, you know what? They're good neighbors and good people. I like them in that regard, and they do have 2 years' supply of food in their basements. But outside of that, I really don't have any desire to be a part of them. They're all 501c3s and all that too. So, anyway, I yield.
Yep. I see Cody's joined us. Cody, did you have anything you want to bring to the group, or are you just listening, buddy?
Just listening. I just dialed in right now, so I don't even know what's going on or what you're talking about right now, but I guess I'm just listening at this point.
Okay. Well, I'll leave you unmuted, so if you do want to jump in, go ahead, okay, bud?
That's cool. Cool with me. Okay.
Very good. Yeah, we've been just talking over the sad state of affairs and how much medically is wrong with our people today, and the zombies that are out here that they got all kinds of drugs running through their veins. Now they've got these serums running through their veins, and it's making people act completely bizarre, is what I've noticed. They're completely out of character, very short tempers. I noticed that many people, even in my own family and my own associates, have become extremely narcissistic. And I hope people understand what the dictionary definition of a narcissist is. But the other thing we're noticing is there's a thing called narcissistic personality disorder, NPD. And some of my family even are extremely NPD. I mean, they are almost like poster children for NPD disorder, the narcissistic personality disorder. They're almost like poster children for it. Almost bipolar, easily triggered, self-absorbed, self-aggrandizing, demanding respect even though they haven't earned it, demanding people be honest with them and upright, and yet they're not going the other way, liars, deceivers, delusional. It's just, and the people that unfortunately are in relationships with them, they gaslight them, they're verbally abusive. Oh my God, it's just, I just shake my head. I haven't walked the earth as long as Ella has, or as this so-called Russell Nelson. So they've got me by a few years, but I've been around for quite a while. And I've watched people's behavior. And I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing now. It's just, it makes me lay on my bed at night. I just lay there thinking, what happened? How did we go from the light on a hill in this dark world as when I was a boy to being this monstrosity of a civilization that we are today? How did that even happen? How did so many people fall asleep? How did so many elders give up on their job to teach and guard the younger people? How many grandfathers and great-grandfathers stopped being leaders, patriarchs of their family? As it was mentioned here, I told my children, if you race mix, I disown you. I disown you, and they know I meant it. How dare you if you do that?
Actually, Pastor Dan, I told my children the same thing. If you race mix, if you race mix, I'm going to disown you. And I meant it, and they know it. And same thing, if you turn into a lesbian or a homosexual, it's the same thing.
Right.
I'll disown you straight out. But
right now, yeah.
Energy drinks.
Bad.
Basically, where I work, everyone and their brother and sister or whatever, you know, men, women, they're all quaffing down these damn energy drinks left and right. And it's like an epidemic. I don't know. I don't know about energy drinks, if anyone else out there actually drinks them, but it's crazy to me how many people that I work with just freaking hammer these damn energy drinks down.
I know, and they don't realize the harm they're doing to their body. I mean, look at the ingredient list on those things. It's atrocious. Even if you don't study natural health, I mean, just looking at the ingredients ought to scare the shit out of you. I've got a daughter and her husband, and they've got 4 children, and they drink that crap. And again, she was raised in a home. She was homeschooled, raised in a home that taught naturopathy, and yet she feels totally comfortable, her and her husband, pounding down the energy drinks. My brother's adopted daughter, same thing, raised in a very strict home of people that follow Yeshua and taught to take care of herself, and yet now that she's a 30-some-year-old woman, same thing, she's just pounding them down left and right. It seems to be, like you said, a pandemic. It's a pandemic of everything, though. Everything that goes against nature and nature's God, which is Yahweh, everything that goes against that, that's what people are for today. And I'm losing my empathy. I have to admit that. Maybe it's a sign of my age. Maybe I've been doing this too long. Maybe it's time for me to step out. I don't know. But I'm losing my empathy for our people. I really am. It's like, how much evidence does it take? You can't even take care of your own bodies. No wonder the world is totally screwed up. You can't even take care of your own temples. How in the hell are you going to take care of the world that Yahweh put the Adamic man here to take care of? How are you going to do that? You can't even take care of your own body. It's disgusting. And again, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Everybody's got flaws, but at least I try. I don't make excuses for my failures. I don't sit there and go, well, you know, it doesn't really say I can't have an energy drink. Well, no, but it says to not put impurities into your temple, which is your body. Okay, so that would be the vaccines are poison. Most of the pharmaceuticals, practically all of the pharmaceuticals are poisons. Energy drinks certainly are poisons. Most of the food at the grocery store is poisonous. And yet people buy it by the shopping cart full, take it home and consume it, and then wonder why they've got irritable bowel problems, why they've got leaky gut, why they've got Crohn's disease, why they've got a whole list of gut issues when they're putting this garbage into your brain. You know, there's a lot of people that think the gut is actually the first brain. The one up here between our ears is actually an auxiliary to the stomach and to the gut. And if you think about some of our old expressions, like what's your gut feeling, it doesn't say what's your brain feeling. It says what's your gut feeling? What do you sense at the gut level? There's a lot of intellectual going on in your digestive tract. For those of us that study this stuff, it's amazing. The thoughts and the design of our creator that put it into these amazing things we call our bodies. That's why I say, for you to be an atheist today, you have to be completely ignorant of the human body and all the processes that go on in the body. You have to be ignorant of it. There's no way you could study all of the intricate details of how these processes go on every single minute of your life flawlessly. And you think we're here by accident? You have to turn your brain completely off to get to go that way. People say, you know, well, it takes a lot to have faith. No, it doesn't. It takes a lot to be an atheist. You have to deny all kinds of common sense things to denounce the Creator. You really do. It doesn't take anything for me to be a believer. I've read too many books by PhD scientists discussing what goes on at the DNA level, the cellular level, reproductive level, your gut, your digestive level, how the brain works, the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, all of that. If you study any of that and you still don't believe you're a created being, I'm sorry. There's just no hope for you because it's all over. It's in your face. I feel bad for people that don't have faith. I know my Creator. I know my Creator. I know I'm a created being. There is no doubt in my body anywhere about that. And yet there's people that think they can do whatever they feel like they can do with no accountability to our Father in heaven, no accountability to the Creator. They can just do with these bodies what they want, eat what they want, drink what they want, and no consequence for their actions. It's unbelievable. I yield.
Well, these modern churches, none of them really go into the food laws anymore. None of them think that we should even be practicing any of the laws of God. And I remember years ago that their explanation for that was that something about a vision that Peter had with a sheet coming down and these unclean animals being proclaimed to be clean from there on out. So most of these evangelical fundamental Zionist preachers, they're not happy unless they got pork grease dripping off their chin. You know, they all got their kitchens and everything in their churches. They got these mega churches and these multi-million dollar kitchens and daycare centers and all that. And they're not the least bit concerned about food laws or anything like that.
Yeah, that vision that Peter had, Peter even explains that was talking about unclean men, not food. He was using that as an analogy. He was not saying that the food was made clean again. Pastor Pete Peters did a sermon, and part of that sermon, he makes this statement. What did Yeshua do the day before and between the day before and the day after his to change the makeup of a pig? What happened in that 24-hour period to make a pig from being a detestable animal to being a clean animal? The answer is nothing. It was the same pig the day before and the day after. So right there, you've got the answer that unclean is still unclean. We've got unclean people. We've got teachers teaching lies in place of what Yeshua taught. Yeah, we sure do. We got organized churches teaching all kinds of heresy and doctrines of devils, and people flock to it. Look at the Crystal Cathedral and all these other huge mega churches with multi millions of dollar budgets, and yet identity people can barely scrape two nickels together because people don't want the truth. People don't want it. They like going to those big fancy cathedrals where they're going to tell them bullshit. Okay, because that's what people want to hear. They want their ears tickled. Oh, tell me the sweet things. Tell me I can be what I want to be, the Walt Disney effect. You can be whatever you want to be. Eat whatever you want. You can be a dog, a speaking dog, a speaking horse, a speaking cow. You know, you can be anything because that's the Disney attitude. So now people actually, women think they're men and men think they're women and children think they're transsexual. They're going to have their organs and their appendages mutilated because, after all, Disney said it was okay because whatever you can fantasize, it can become true. We're mentally ill. People today are mentally ill because they don't have the Father. If you don't, as Ella said, broken cisterns. When the prophets spoke of broken cisterns, they're talking about broken people. They can't hold the Holy Spirit within a broken cistern. You can't. That's why these people act the way they do. They have no empathy. They have no understanding because they have no Holy Spirit within them. They're just zombies. Empty bone sacks. Empty sacks of meat. That's all they are. Just sacks of meat walking around like zombies waiting to die. That's all they got. There's no spiritual aspect to them at all. We're actually in the zombie apocalypse. Really, the revealing of the zombies. They're all around us. It's kind of scary, actually. Praise Yahweh that a lot of the believers that I know, anyway, we are kind of holed up in our own enclaves or our own homes, and we go out amongst the zombies as little as possible. Because my personal opinion is that they're not going to be here much longer. And I don't want to go down with them. I don't want to be around them when the judgment, the hammer falls on their heads. I don't want to be around them. And I don't think any believer should be around them either. I yield.
I was listening to a podcast the other day. I listen to it every once in a while. It comes out of Vero Beach, Florida. This guy's name is Rick Wiles. Have you ran into him?
Absolutely. True News.
True News, yeah. He had a podcast this past week with a pastor on with him that's from my neck of the woods. He lives up here just across the border in Montana. His name's Pastor Chuck Baldwin.
Yeah, I know Chuck.
Yeah. Now, these two guys were kind of evangelical fundamentalists, but they have got a little bit of awareness as to Zionism and who the Zionists are and Israel, the Jews over there, how they're imposters and they're slaughtering the Palestinians and stuff like that. And I heard Baldwin say that he stumbled upon this truth all on his own and that it was a huge revelation for him. And I'm like, when I heard him say that, I'm like, that's weird because, I mean, Christian identity has been preaching that in this country for over 100 years.
Yeah, and Chuck is being a little disingenuous because I personally emailed him material for years. I interviewed Chuck Baldwin. I interviewed Chuck Baldwin on By Yahweh's Design years ago.
Oh, wow.
So for him to say that he discovered it all on his own is a little bit dishonest, unless he completely ignored our interview and all the material I've been sending him for years. He's on my email list.
I thought about that when he said that. I'm like, how could he know? He must have heard some truth somewhere along the line.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why he would say that. I thought Chuck had more integrity than that. He used to live in Florida, by the way. He used to live in the panhandle of Florida. Then
That's right.
He and his family moved up to Montana some years ago. But his son is a constitutional lawyer. In fact, the two of them, a good book, totally blowing up the whole Romans 13 thing about obeying government.
Exactly,
I have that book here on my shelf. But, yeah, Chuck Baldwin, I interviewed him. We talked on the phone some, and we've been emailing back and forth for a very long time. So I don't know why he would say that, unless he doesn't read the emails I sent him. And so finally somebody got through to him. But we talked about this message when we did the interview. So, but it did take him a while. I mean, he didn't come to any of the identity teachings for quite some time. He resisted it because it's so, you got to remember, he ran for president.
I know he did.
So he may have had designs to do that years ago, and so he could not embrace identity too much, or they would have used that against him to smear him. So maybe that's part of it. He doesn't want to acknowledge that those of us that know this message have been communicating with him for a long time.
Interesting. Thank you for that.
Sure. Sure. I've rubbed elbows with quite a few folks that people should recognize their names, you know, over the years. And some people prove to be charlatans and quacks, in my personal opinion, of course, like James Wickstrom. I wouldn't touch that guy with a 10-foot pole. He's dead now, but when he was alive, even though when I first found out about him, I thought he was sincere, and I sent him money and listened to all of his tapes. But over the years, when I lived in Michigan and got to see him up close and personal at the gatherings and stuff like that, I found out he's another one that paints a picture of one type of person, and yet off camera was completely different. And to me, that's disingenuous, and it's hypocrisy. And not to mention the fact that I found, because of our fireside chats after many of the gatherings, that he really didn't know all that much. A lot of his teachings was actually the work of Colonel Gale. If anybody's ever listened to Colonel Gale's messages, if you listen to Colonel Gale, you can see that Wickstrom, who used to ride on Colonel Gale's coattails, a lot of the stuff he taught and put out was a lot of the stuff that Colonel Gale had actually put together. And then, again, this is my take on things from personal experience and being up there and around these people. People still think Wickstrom's a good teacher. That's okay with me. You can do that, but just don't mention him to me and don't bring any of his stuff into my zone, because I wouldn't have anything to do with him.
Yeah. I used to listen to him quite a bit back about 10 years or so ago. And another guy that I listened to quite a bit, and he's still around, his name's Pastor Eli James. Now, he used to live in Chicago, but I've recently heard that he moved to Arkansas.
I did not hear that. Eli used to come visit me when I lived in Michigan. And he was on my radio show quite frequently, actually. In fact, I helped him with his book, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. I wrote the foreword to the book, and I helped him with some editing before he printed it. But over the years, Eli sort of drifted, we drifted apart, because I don't need to go into the details why, but certainly once he and the fellow in London started up Eurofolk Radio, and he got in very tight with Steve Anderson and David James, we parted company.
Is that Pastor Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, now he dropped off the scene, and last I heard, he was in a nursing home somewhere.
Yeah, his health was terrible. But yeah, I had... David James and Pastor Steve, their egos were just off the charts. And when they attacked a guest of mine that was on my show when I was still with Eurofolk Radio, that was the last straw for me. It had happened once before, and then we buried the hatchet, so I came back on. And then they attacked Dr. Gale when I was interviewing her about natural health. Totally uncalled for. And Eli didn't do anything, and neither did the fellow in London. Didn't do anything to rein these guys in. And so I just said, that's it. You're not going to censor me. You're not going to dictate what I have on my show. Just not going to allow it. And so I left.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another guy I used to like listen to a lot, too, and I don't hear much from him at all anymore, is that I don't know his real name, but he went by Professor Truth.
Paul, yeah.
Oh, Paul, yeah. Is he still around?
Oh, yeah, he's still around, and I don't have anything to do with him either.
Because I thought I heard. I thought I heard him on your broadcast a couple times.
Oh yeah, I interviewed him.
Oh,
I've interviewed a lot of these people. I interviewed David James. I interviewed Pastor Steve, Eli James, many, many times, and even Professor Truth. I've interviewed them. They got a chance to speak their piece. But again, over time, people can't hide who they really are forever. And eventually they always let their guard down and you get to see what's really behind the curtain, so to speak. And that's why I say I interviewed them and communicated for a little while and then no more.
Yeah.
No more. Yeah.
Well, I do know that Eli James and I do go to your folk radio once in a while, and he has moved. He finally left Illinois, and now he's I heard he's living in Arkansas, Harrisburg, right.
Harrison.
I think he said it was Harrison or Harrisburg or something like that.
He must be where Kingdom Identity Ministries is. Is he taking over Kingdom Identity?
I don't know. I haven't heard that much yet from, but he's still around.
Oh yeah, he's still around. Yeah.
There was a guy, another identity guy up here close to me. He was in Idaho, but he's way up north in the panhandle, and his name was Barley.
David Barley.
Pastor David Barley. I never got a chance to meet him. I always wanted to drive up there and meet him. But he passed away recently, like in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. A lot of people that used to be are no longer, such as Carl Klang. I consider him a good friend. We lost him. He's a singer-songwriter. So is Jonathan David Brown. It was a pleasure to know him while he walked this earth. Both of them, we lost them both in their 60s, way too young. Very strong identity folks and very good and talented songwriters. I play their music frequently. Again, not saying that they were perfect. Certainly Carl Klang had his issues. As anybody that knows him personally, he had certain issues that he had to deal with during his life, but he made some very good songs and music. 17 Little Children comes to mind as one where he made that song, dedicated it to the children at Waco. He teaches a lot of identity through music, and so did Jonathan David Brown. Both of them very talented individuals. So we've lost some really good warriors. We've had some people that I don't miss at all, but we've also lost some of the better warriors of our people. So I'm praying that Yahweh puts an end to this nonsense pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother Dan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you expand a little bit on the details of Carl Klang? I knew him well. This is the first I heard that he passed.
Oh, yeah, that was, it's been years ago now. I can't remember the exact date. His latter part of his life was very obscure. He didn't do much personal appearances that I know of. He didn't communicate with me hardly at all. I had to get information second and third hand. I think he had some issues at certain parts of his life. He had issues with alcohol, and he may have even had some problems with some psychological problems. His girlfriend spoke to me many years ago, back in the late 1990s, early 2000s. And Carl lived with me for a while in Michigan. It got to be more than I could handle, especially when I got the call from the jailhouse that he'd been arrested for drunken disorderly conduct. But yeah, he was living with me. In fact, a couple of the songs that I really, really like of his, he composed them while he was staying at my house. But yeah, Carl was a good guy. I met him at a Pete Peters conference with my sons had come with me, and we met many years ago in, I think it was Virginia, at a Pete Peters conference. But Carl and we became good friends and listened to him sing there, and I played his music constantly. So he's a good guy. He just had some demons that he struggled with most of his adult life.
Yeah, good choice of words. Carl spent a lot of time in my apartment around the year 2000 and stuff. He was going through difficulties with his wife, Sonny, and he was under a lot of stress there, but from my perspective, he was always doing his best to maintain honorably, but as you say, he was just wrestling with some spiritual demons, and I think he did the best he could, but, you know, that's all we can do is do the best we can. I yield.
Yeah, amen, amen. And again, I don't want to, it seemed like I'm trying to disparage any of these men that walk with our Father. I'm just pointing out that we're all just mortal people, okay? We're not perfect. If you're looking for perfect, keep searching, because you're never going to find it. And the only perfect man to walk this earth, we allowed to be crucified. So that doesn't say much for our ability to protect the ones that do it right. So perfection, you're just not going to find it. What you want to be is perfect in the assessment of what's going on around you and your discernment, and that's where you trust the Holy Spirit. You don't trust in infallible men, you know?
Yeah, and exactly. And it's a spirit of humility and doing as best you can with what you got under the circumstances. But I want to voice my serious appreciation for your pointing out that there are people among us that are posturing as good spiritual identity Christian leaders, that they are not doing the best they can. They know what they're doing, they know they're deceivers, and they don't care. So there's a big dividing line between honest people that are just falling from grace, like Carl Quang and some of the others, including ourselves, we all fall from grace, versus the people that know what they're doing, and they don't care. I yield.
Yep, amen. Amen to that. Like I said, I was greatly disappointed when I first learned identity. I was searching for these, what I called great leaders, and Wickstrom certainly was in that camp, to be my mentors. I was looking to some of the elders and people that were teaching, like Pete Peters and Wickstrom and whatnot. And then I got to meet them personally and found out that they had some very serious character flaws, especially Wickstrom. Like I said, I find him to be detestable as a man. And Pete Peters, I enjoyed Pete, but Pete was a adamant one seed liner, and he would not tolerate anybody that didn't agree with the one seed line version of identity, which I didn't understand that. It was like, why? Why would you allow that to divide the camp? But other than that, Pete was enjoyable to be around. He was an excellent speaker. I enjoyed his teachings. I just didn't enjoy that aspect of it. Somewhat of an egotist, and especially when it came to the seed line message. So, but he's gone now too. Pastor Pete's gone. I think Earl Jones is gone. We've lost a lot. A lot of the people that were there when I was growing up in the message are no longer with us. So let me yield here and see if anybody's got anything else before we close down for the night.
That means that you have to carry on the flame.
Somebody asked me about something like that here not too long ago, and I said I made a promise that as long as Yahweh gave me breath, I was never going to stop. And I want to drive a spear right into the heart of the beast. And if Yahweh gives me the opportunity to do that, I'm going to do it, whether it's by radio or by literally picking up a spear like Phineas and putting it right in their heart. I want to destroy this beast system. And so as long as I draw air, I will fight the fight. It's all in Yahweh's hands. He's in total control.
I thank you because you've taught me a hell of a lot over the years. When I came to this message back in, I wouldn't say the 2000, maybe in 2003, 2004, but you've taught me a lot, so I thank you for that.
Thanks, Cody. That means a lot. Appreciate it. It's I made a promise before starting the radio show, which actually now we're right at 24 years ago. I made a promise that I would try to win back our family if it took getting one Israelite at a time. And I had no idea 24 years ago that it would literally be one Israelite at a time. I thought at some point this truth would just explode on the landscape and people would run to it like I did. I mean, it was like a drink of water on a desert. Wow, there's some truth here. And I couldn't get enough. And I've been greatly disappointed in the fact that we literally are winning our tribesmen back practically one at a time. The flock in general is chasing after fantasies and lies and deception and materialism and hedonistic behavior. I mean, it's sad. It's easy to see why the scripture says Yahshua always had a forlorn look on him. His countenance was always forlorn. And now I understand why. Here was the Creator walking amongst us, amongst his creation, and they didn't give a shit. He's trying to tell them how to straighten things out. They don't care. They got better things to do. They got wine to drink, women to chase. They got people to steal from and to rob and cheat. And that's the way it is today. You know, the identity people are trying to reach out there and we're trying to help them. That's what kills me. It's not like we're trying to steal something or sign a contract or steal their land. We're simply trying to tell them how to be healthy, spiritually and physically. And it's like we're lepers. Unbelievable. I still shake my head. It's like I knew this was not going to be an easy job when I signed up for it, but I had no idea that it would be the struggle it's turned out to be. But again, it's not what I would not change it because Yahweh's always been with me, and so has the brothers and sisters who have stepped in. John is here with us tonight. He stepped in with donations to help me expand my three monitor setup, and so did young Matt up in Minnesota. So there are shining stars out there, but I'm telling you, they are a very small, tiny flock, just like Yeshua said. And so our family may be small, but it's awful strong. And I believe that's why we're still here, even in the midst of all this chaos, is because the prayers of the righteous have great power. That's what it says in Scripture. And I believe that when we pray for each other, there's power in that, more power than we sometimes realize. The enemy cannot overcome that power. So when we hold out prayer for each other and we listen to each other and we encourage each other, there is strength in that. A lot of people just don't even understand that. A kind word, a compliment here, edification there, or if you're physically close to each other, just a hug. Great power in that. Whether you're a male or female, doesn't matter. Compared, just like the men in my family, we hug each other all the time. And people just don't realize there's power in that. There's energy, a transfer of energy when you have that intimate contact with another person. It's not always sexual. That's what the Jew wants us to do. Think of everything as sexual. No, it's not always sexual. A lot of times it's simply that power that we get from a kindred spirit, because we are spirit beings. We sometimes downplay that when we should be playing it up, because we need it today to fight this fight, because we're being tortured mentally and even physically. We're being tortured with all this nonsense that's going on. So don't ever forget that, folks. Anybody else got anything before we close out tonight? Okay, I think that's pretty much it. So I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody and close this out in prayer. If anybody's in a hurry, they certainly are free to jump out if they want. Lively discussion tonight. I really appreciate it. A lot of kind words and a lot of good fellowship. So, and again, we can't discount that. Okay, there we go. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor once again. We thank you for this fellowship time tonight. Our family has come together here to edify each other, to inform each other, to share, which is what you told us to do. In Proverbs, it says that one of the things that you hate and detest is anybody who would sow discord amongst our brethren. We're trying to do the opposite of that. We're trying to have forums where we can come together and share life experiences, the things that we are witnessing, and not rely on these completely fabricated sources like mainstream media, government, medical mafia, bankers, etc. They are all liars and misfits. The corporations, again, liars and misfits. They're all around us. You gave us these truths, Father, and you told us that if we would take a hold of your law, which is you, and bring it into our being, bring it into our focus, put it into our minds day by day, that you would be there with us. And I know that for a fact. You've been with me my whole life. I know that. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you. And I doubt that many of the people here with us tonight would be here if it weren't for you. You called us out. We are the ecclesia that was spoken of. And we know that we're going to see very weird, strange things, even more so than we've already seen in the coming days. But we shall be overcomers. We will get through this, and we'll get through this as a team, as a family. And to that end, we ask tonight that you would bless each and every one of us, Father, with comforting of the Holy Spirit, with discernment to see through lies and deception, and with joy in our hearts that we are part of your ecclesia. We are part of that tiny flock that you promised will come through all this, and we will be standing when everybody else has fallen. Psalm 91, all over again. So be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, as we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.